Emerging out of the mist and riding across the landscape, the so-called four horsemen of the apocalypse appeared to the Apostle John in vision at the close of the first century. What do those four horsemen really represent? Were they merely a vivid nightmare, or perhaps the product of an old man's imagination? Or do they represent something very different, a living prophecy that will unfold in our generation? My friends, the ride of these mysterious four horsemen will dramatically affect your life and that of your family in the years immediately ahead. Would you like to know how? Well, stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, John O'Gwen explains the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. You know, to most people, the book of Revelation is the most mysterious book of the whole Bible. All sorts of ideas have been put forward to interpret it, and there are many contradictory ideas that have emerged. Is it really possible for you to be able to make sense out of this mysterious book? Let me show you a vital key, a very simple key, and yet one that is so often overlooked. In fact, this key is contained in the very first verse of the very first chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Did you get that, my friends? This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is the revelator. Now notice back in Revelation chapter 5. John is watching in vision a scene in heaven, and he describes seeing God on the throne, and he sees the one sitting on the throne, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, holding a book in his hand, a scroll, and the scroll is sealed with seven seals. The scroll is written both within and without, and an angel proclaims in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book?" Now there was no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth, referring to those who had previously died. No one, no human being, no angel was worthy to open the book and to look inside. Then, verse 5, one of the elders told John, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals." Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, he was the only one worthy to open the book. In the very next chapter, chapter 6, in verse 1, John writes, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." John watches in vision and he sees Jesus Christ began to open this mysterious book that had been sealed with seven seals. John watched and he saw the first seal opened, and then he was told to come and look, and he saw a vision of a rider on a white horse. Then, in verse 3, he watched the second seal open. He was told again to come and look, and he saw a rider on a red horse. And then, in verse 5, he saw the third seal opened. And he was told again, come and look, and he watched a rider on a black horse. Then, in verse 7, he saw the fourth seal opened. And again, he was told to come and look, and he saw a rider on a pale horse. In verse 9, he saw the fifth seal opened. And then in verse 12, he saw the sixth seal. and great dramatic heavenly signs. And finally, in chapter 8 and verse 1, he saw the seventh seal opened. Now, as we look at these seven seals opened one by one, we have the question, how are we to interpret these mysterious symbols? Well, you know, Jesus Christ is the revelator. We saw that in the very first verse of the very first chapter. Well, if Jesus Christ is the revelator, then where does Jesus Christ, in plain language, explain the meaning of these mysterious seven seals? You know, there is a prophecy in the Bible that is the longest prophecy that Jesus Christ directly spoke, and it is the most pivotal prophecy of any that he directly gave. That prophecy is recorded in Matthew 24. Parallel accounts are included in Mark 13 and also in Luke 21. Now, the setting for this prophecy, called the Olivet Prophecy, because it was spoken on the Mount of Olives, is given, and we'll notice it right here in Matthew chapter 24, the opening verses. Jesus Christ is in the temple with his disciples, and they're now leaving out of the temple. And as they do, the disciples look around and they comment on the magnificent temple complex, on the massive building stones and all of the porches and buildings and courtyards that are connected with it. Jesus then looks at them and he said, as recorded right here in verse 2 of Matthew 24, "You see all of this? There's not going to be left here one stone standing on another that shall not be thrown down." Well, Jesus and the disciples walked out of the temple complex, out of the gate of Jerusalem, and up on the Mount of Olives, just a short distance away. And as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, some of the disciples came to him privately, and they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" The disciples understood that Jesus was talking about events that were a prelude to the establishment of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus went on to explain the answer to their question. He talked about certain things that were going to happen. Now, there are actually three levels of fulfillment to the words that Jesus spoke, recorded in Matthew 24. One is the historic, typical fulfillment that culminated with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That resulted directly in the destruction of the temple and the casting down of the building stones. And so, on one level, Christ's words can be understood as describing those historical events leading up to 70 AD. In another sense, a second way of understanding Christ's words is that they represent a description of long-standing conditions through time, all the way down through the centuries since Jesus spoke these words. There have been certainly many of the things that he mentioned. But the specific question, as we noted, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age? You see, my friends, there is a final end-time fulfillment to these words. Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 talked about the signs of the times. He told the disciples, recorded in verse 32, he said, "I want you to learn the parable of the fig tree. The branch is tender and it buds out and it puts forth its leaves, and you know that summer is coming." He said, in the same way, when you see these things, know the time of my return is near. It is the signs of the times. Now, the four horsemen represent a symbolic reenactment of the bold, straightforward words that John had heard Jesus Christ speak over 60 years previous to the vision that he recorded in Revelation chapter 6. You see, Jesus Christ spoke in direct, plain statements as recorded in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. When John recorded this vision years later, this was symbolic. But Jesus Christ had given the key to understanding what this mysterious vision meant. Now, while Christ's words had a certain typical fulfillment in the Jewish war that culminated in the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD, that was not all. Remember, John's vision was recorded about 25 years after that war was over, after Jerusalem was destroyed. John's vision, recorded in Revelation 6, was not about the past. It was not looking back. It was looking forward. It was a revealing of what was to come, a vision about the future. Now, my friends, in the second half of this program, we're going to look specifically at the four horsemen. But before we do, I want to show you this booklet entitled Revelation, The Mystery Unveiled. This booklet lays out the seals of Revelation in easy chart form. We've got it laid out in a way that makes it simple to follow and to understand. This chart will make it plain, my friends. You need this booklet. If you'll call or write right now, we'll send it to you, absolutely free of charge. Request your own free copy right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. This knowledge about the four horsemen of the apocalypse is vital to you. Please pay attention to Christ's revelation of what this nightmarish vision really means and how you can escape it. Because, my friends, if you decide to ignore it, you won't be able to escape the upcoming events in the years ahead. Now let's look at the first horseman. This is perhaps the most universally misunderstood of the four horsemen. Some try to connect it with the vision in Revelation 19, and therefore they connect it with the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's absolutely wrong, my friends. Well, why is that? Notice here the description that we're given in Revelation chapter 6. John saw Jesus Christ opened the first of the seals in verse 1. And in verse 2, he says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, let's compare that with what we're told back in Revelation chapter 19. Here, in verse 11, John says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." Okay, the colors of the two horses are the same. He that sat upon him, here in Revelation 19:11, is called faithful and true. We're told that, verse 13, he's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. We're told right here in Revelation chapter 19 that the weapon, in verse 15, is a sharp sword that comes out of the mouth. That is the Word of God compared to a two-edged sword. We find here, also in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 12, that on his head are many crowns. The description of the two riders is different. The rider in Revelation 19 has a sword, the sword of his mouth. The rider in Revelation 6 is armed with a bow. The bow was the symbol of Nimrod, the mighty hunter, the one who inaugurated the Babylonian mystery religion after the flood. In Revelation 6, he has a crown. In Revelation 19, Jesus Christ, faithful and true, has many crowns. What is seen in Revelation 6 is a counterfeit of the returning Jesus Christ in Revelation 19. The description of the riders is different, and the timing of their rides is very different. Remember, Revelation 6 is the very first seal that is opened. Revelation 19 comes much later. All seven seals have been opened by that time, and the seventh seal, consisting of seven trumpets, all seven trumpets have been blown. When you go to Revelation chapter 6 and compare it with Revelation 19, it's very clear that the time settings are different. Now let's look back in Matthew 24, because that's what we said at the very beginning, that Jesus Christ is the revelator, and so we have to look at what he said in plain language was the very first thing to watch for. Notice right here, Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many." Did you realize that it's possible to come using Christ's name, acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and yet deceive people? Well, how is that possible, my friends? If you say that Jesus is the Messiah, how in the world could you possibly deceive someone? Because he is the Messiah. Well, notice what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus Christ said it's not enough just to pay lip service to his name. We have to practice what he taught. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus Christ said, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Full well you lay aside the commandments of God that you may hold to your own tradition." You can't just follow human tradition as a replacement for the teachings of your Bible. The very first thing that Jesus Christ said was false prophets, those coming in his name, and yet teaching a false message. Let's notice the second horseman that Jesus described here in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 3, when John saw the second seal opened, he heard a voice that said, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat on him to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. Now, Jesus described in very similar words in Matthew 24, right after he talked about false Christ, those who would come in his name, acknowledging him as the Christ, the Messiah, and yet preaching a deceptive message, a false message. He went on to say in Matthew 24, 6, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." He explained in verse 7 that nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 24, a little bit later, down in verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. Or as some translations render it, no flesh saved alive, except those days were shortened. Now, how can that be? Would mankind actually destroy itself from the face of the earth unless time were cut short? Well, the answer is yes, my friends. You know, back in 1970, the Associated Press reported that for the first time in history, it had become possible to annihilate life on Earth. Now, we've made a lot of progress since 1970. In addition to nuclear weapons, there are also chemical and biological weapons. We have smart bombs and we have satellite technology. Prophecies of your Bible indicate that one-third of mankind is going to perish as a result of the warfare that is inaugurated by the rider on the red horse. Now let's look at the third horseman. The third horseman described in Revelation 6 is on a black horse. Verse 5, John says, "When he opened the third seal, I heard one of the creatures say, 'Come and look.' And he went and he saw a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And he heard another voice that described wheat being parceled out, a measure of barley for a penny. wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. What he saw were a description of rationing, food rationing, as this scarcity and starvation that are the natural results of warfare is described. Crop damage, defoliation, contaminated water supplies, and destroyed livestock all come from the ravages of war. In the late 20th century, there were famines that swept portions of Africa and Asia in the aftermath of ethnic bloodshed and civil war. Multiple tens of thousands died. This third horseman that is described in Revelation 6 refers not to the historic famines of the past, though, but rather to the gigantic mega famines that will affect one quarter of the earth as a result of warfare and upset cataclysmic weather conditions. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that not only would there be war and rumor of war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, the next thing he said was famine. And then, following that, he described pestilence and disease. Let's look briefly at the fourth horseman. When the fourth seal is opened in Revelation chapter 6, that's described in verse 7, John saw another vision, recorded in verse 8. I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell, that is, Hades, or the grave, followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword and hunger, with death and with the beasts of the earth. John saw this pale horse. Pale describes the sickly yellow-green color of disease and includes everything from animal-borne diseases to the results of so-called super germs to epidemics. In the aftermath of a nuclear bombardment, dead bodies would rot, bacteria would mutate, insects such as fleas and ticks, possessing a natural immunity to radiation, would multiply and transmit disease. These frightening four horsemen will begin their end-time ride in the years immediately ahead. And many of you watching this program will undoubtedly live to see it. The book of Revelation is intended as just that, a revealing of future events and of God's master plan. This booklet, Revelation, the Mystery Unveiled, can really help you to understand this mysterious book. The book of Revelation can become clear to you. Well, the simple, easy-to-read chart that lays out end-time events in 1-2-3 order, this booklet will help you understand this vital subject like nothing else you've ever read. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call us, and we'll mail it right out to you, totally free of charge. My friends, you need this important booklet. You need to know what your future holds for the years ahead. Order your free copy of Revelation, the Mystery Unveiled, right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Hundreds of thousands were caught by surprise when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were destroyed by the first two atomic bombs back in 1945, they had no idea what was coming. During World War II, multiple millions perished in Hitler's ovens. Some of those could have been spared if they had heeded the signs of the times and had acted quickly. There are watershed events that occur in the history of this world, and those events can occur very quickly and totally change the world around us. The bombing of the Trade Towers in 9/11 was something like that. The collapse of the Berlin Wall was another event of that nature. There are going to be events in the future that will totally change what is going on in the world around you. Is there a way to escape these terrible plagues that the Bible describes? Jesus Christ said that there was. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, the parallel account to Matthew 24, Jesus told his disciples to watch and to pray. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He told them in verse 34 to take heed to themselves lest they be caught by surprise. In Revelation chapter 12, we read of the woman, symbolic of a church, being taken to her place in the wilderness to be nourished for a time, times, and half a time. God describes the taking away of His true people to be protected during this terrible time of calamity that we've been looking at. Notice in Psalm 91, in verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Eternal, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. My friends, if you really want to understand what's going to happen in the years ahead and how you and your family can have God's protection during these trying times, then be sure to request our free booklet, Revelation, The Mystery Unveiled. And be sure to tune in each and every week as Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames, and I make plain to you the prophecies of your Bible and the good news of tomorrow's world. Please be sure to join us right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800. Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.